gold-plated diapers.
And welcome to another episode of
Flapdoodle Forum.
Yeah, the show where we discuss the strange occurrences in society and culture
and provide our insight and feedback for you to enjoy.
Welcome to the show.
We are your hosts, Lucas Wilson and
Matt Buckley.
With your guest host,
Josh. Oh.
No, it's me, Dave, again.
Dave. Why aren't you Josh Gates? What?
Luke, I said to get Josh Gates as our guest host, not Dave.
I told you to get Josh Gates as our guest host.
I'm
not
still
Dave.
Working on that.
Well, why is it now all of a sudden my responsibility to get
because
Josh
I've
Gates?
Already tried.
Well, I've mailed him pictures of myself.
That's probably keeping him from coming on the show.
What?
What kind of pictures are we talking about here?
You know, a pinky toe, a nostril, an eyelash.
He's like probably opening those up in like the Himalayas or wherever he is and going, what the hell is this?
Why aren't you Josh Gates, Dave?
How do you explain something like that? Because my parents weren't Mama and Papa Gates and did not name me Josh.
Well, I guess we're just going to have to make do with Dave.
You know what would be great? You need to find someone whose name is also Josh Gates. And get them to be on the show. They did that there was a comic book magazine. It was a magazine about comic books. It was and comic book culture called Wizard back in the day. It's now discontinued. But Wizard would actually go out and like interview people whose names were Bruce Wayne or Clark Kent.
That's pretty cool.
And just ask them random questions about comic books. Or they would ask, it's like, so what does it feel like to be Batman?
So we've got to find someone whose name is also Josh Gates, bring them on the show and ask them questions about adventuring around the world, hunting for ghosts and cryptids.
Or like when my brother-in-law was in college, they were having a party and they put posters up all around campus. They were having a party and the poster said that attending the party would be Michael Jackson because they knew a guy whose name was Michael Jackson. He was white and bald and was like a skinhead punk, but his name was Michael Jackson.
Did they get an attendance? Lodge coming?
I don't think... It's a college campus. Do you think anyone took him seriously?
Maybe.
If we think about it, Michael Jackson's probably a pretty common name.
Yeah, probably is.
So, Matt.
Yeah?
Do you have any personal... Actually, how do you want to do this? I mean, we're not injecting like at least one personal flapdoodle experience into the show. Is that something you want to interject in between slots, or do you want to just go right off the bat or at the end?
I don't know if I want to really make it so rigid. I want it to kind of... I want us to introduce it whenever we want to, really.
Okay.
Whatever feels right. I mean, we can do it now if you want.
It's a new thing we're doing, Dave.
Yeah, I was just trying... I was sitting here thinking, do I have anything to contribute?
We're not each going to do one.
Well,
I know, but since you were brought it up, I'm just like, do I have anything?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What?
I have a quick one that you and I both experienced.
Oh. What did we?
What about last time we did a podcast and the arm of your chair just like popped off for like no apparent cause or reason? I couldn't explain
it. All right. I'm holding it right here as the arm to my chair. It's popped off recently, like a while ago, like the foam, like the glue, whatever was holding it, this thing. And I slide it on and I keep it there. And like, you know, if I bump it, it falls off and stuff. But I wasn't anywhere near the chair. And Matt wasn't either. It was just sitting there. And Matt's like kind of over the side waiting for me. And the thing's not even like as if it was sitting there precariously over it. It was just sitting in the thing. And then I just see it go like,
like forcefully pushed off the chair. Like not by gravity. It was really weird.
And then I was like, Matt, don't leave me here alone tonight.
Something strange is happening.
I think there's some sort of gravitational vortex in this room.
Maybe this room is a doorway to another world.
It was a weather balloon.
Yeah, you're probably right. So Matt, what do you got to share with us today?
You want me to go first?
You know what? I feel like you should.
Okay, I'm going to send you and Dave the link to this article so you can both pull it up. Dave, check your Facebook.
Oh, You're doing it through Facebook. Okay.
Oh, I see it. Click.
Uh-huh.
The Let's Independent. See.
Oh, wait.
Wait, this is broken. There's something
there's
here.
Something, there's something wrong.
Will Titanfall right, boost Microsoft's flagging sales? More at 11.
All right, you're going to click the second link that I sent you.
Okay.
There it is. Wait, this looks familiar. Wait, this was a crack thing once.
I just read this today.
Go to it. Go for it, man.
Hey, this is like my bit, isn't it?
From The Independent, titled Rocket Cats, Warfare Manual Showing 16th Century Weaponry Puzzles Experts. Now, many of you know that cats are the subject of many memes and whatnot on the internet, but by interesting coincidence, back in the Middle Ages, there was some sort of warfare handbook or something that included illustrations of cats with, like, rocket packs, as well as birds. Experts studying fanciful illustrations from a circa 1530 manual on artillery and siege warfare, however, appear to have uncovered a less innocent use of cats in flight. The images from the manual, which was digitized by the University of Pennsylvania, appear to show jetpacks strapped to the backs of cats and doves. The German text accompanying the pictures helpfully advises military commanders to use them to set fire to a castle or city which you can't get at otherwise. The pictures showing cats and doves being propelled towards a castle by what appear to be jetpacks appear in a Führerbuch manuscript that has now got experts...
Führerbuch?
It's in the article. Now it has experts puzzled.
Okay, I can see what they're trying to go for here? Wait, all right, so they strap a rocket to the back of a cat or a bird.
Did anything resembling rockets even exist back then?
Well, they had gunpowder and, fireworks probably too, which is a kind of rocket. You know, like the ancient Chinese had fireworks.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I would assume that, like, somebody was just going like, hey. Oh, they are probably, like, thinking, this almost looks like a reverse cannon. Like, if I notice that the cannon goes backwards, there's an explosion. So
we'll propel this cat forward.
So the explosion is probably cut forward, sending it hurtling into the castle, ablaze, and set it on fire. And I'll do this to this pigeon, too. Sir David, I have got this new invention.
So, hold on. I'm actually, like, trying to make sense of this, unfortunately for me. But Matt.
Pretty detailed drawings.
Yeah.
All they know about this is the drawings. Is there any description in the text?
Yeah, it's a manual, man.
Well, yeah, there's a bunch of other weapons in this book, I guess, like...
There is text I see in the picture.
Bombs packed with shrapnel to missile-like explosive devices studded with spikes. So pretty medieval-sounding stuff here.
You make a grenade?
Pretty much. Or makeshift one, anyway.
Hmm.
I really don't know what to make of it, says Frost. Oh, Mitch Frost, a historian and digital humanities expert at the Penn Library. It clearly looks like there's some sort of jet of fire coming out of a device strapped to these animals. According to Frost's translation, Helm explained how animals could be used to deliver incendiary devices. Quote, create a small sack like a fire arrow. If you would like to get at a town or castle, seek to obtain a cat from that place and bind the sack to the back of the cat. Ignite it, let it glow well, and thereafter let the cat go so it runs into the nearest castle or town, and out of fear it thinks to hide itself where it ends up in a barn, hay, or straw. It will be ignited.
Now, wait a minute. Maybe the picture is maybe a misinterpretation?
Perhaps.
Now that you, based on that description, I'm looking at this. Maybe it's just
Yeah, so it's not like a flying cat.
So the cat's not
just
being propelled forward. He's just wearing a backpack full of flammable something. And because he's fast, the cat's going
to
run in there and
set fire to something.
Same thing with the bird.
Well, my first interpretation of the drawing is that it was, the second one especially, that's just black and white, is that it's like smoke. If there's like all this smoke coming out of it, you're creating like a smoke screen by sending on the back of a cat or on a bird. And I'm guessing this was theoretical. The guy was just coming up with theories of what could possibly
be done. Yeah, because later on in the article it says there's no evidence that cats and birds were used in early modern warfare in the way prescribed by Helm.
Yeah, but also, what is it? There is that line in the instruction that says, and bind the sack to the back of a cat, ignite it, let it go, and then so it runs near his castle town, and out of fear it'll hide and light barn hay or straw on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is more like the cat's just on fire.
This is just fanciful warfare thinking, I think.
So this is like those mine dogs in World War II.
Mm-hmm. I guess
that
you
the Russians
say that.
Use where they strap explosives to a dog and have him run under a tank and blow him up.
Yeah, they've done that with children in some parts of the world.
Didn't they do that with dolphins or something too?
I mean, they've used dolphins to for like minesweeping and stuff. Like they've sent suicide dolphins after ships.
Live torpedoes.
Suicide dolphins.
I don't know. I think dolphins might be too smart to kill themselves like that.
Unless they didn't realize what was going on.
So we lied to the dolphins.
Well,
come
man,
here, Flipper.
I saw this picture. I remember I did see this in a cracked article. I think it was like, you know, probably like, you know, ancient weapons you wouldn't believe had existed or something like that.
But this weapon didn't exist. It was only theorized about.
Yeah. Yeah, the person who wrote it probably didn't look too further. Probably saw the picture and they're like, whoa. Tippy tap tap tip tippy tap tap tap.
Still pretty interesting.
Dave, would you conquer a castle like this?
I mean, it's the only way I would conquer a castle, really.
Would you put this on Cypher?
No. I would only use birds because, like, especially chickens. I would use chickens primarily.
Can you imagine that this chicken just running in, like, with this sack on its back, just, like, sparking? You're like, what the hell is that? Sorcery! Now, I want to. Why isn't this in Game of Thrones?
I don't know.
Come on, you wrote that whole series, right, Dave?
I'm not sure I can take these trips tonight. I don't know. I don't think my mind is going that way.
Rocket Cats. That's my story.
Rocket Cat! The original version of the Elton John song until somebody said, you know, it sounds kind of silly. What if it was a Rocket Man?
It's my last...
Well, Matt, that was fascinating. I'm just... The visual of that is, like, very entertaining.
Indeed it is.
It's just impractical because, you know, you got to make sure you're not close to your castle. Otherwise, the cat might turn around and run home.
Exactly.
Oh. Wait, no! Fluffy, come back!
But it's like, what if you have like an encampment out there and you're like sieging this place and like, you know, you're like, all right, go. And the bird turns around.
It comes right back at you.
No.
Yeah. I mean, they pick two animals, a bird and a cat that don't necessarily do what you want them to do all the time. I mean, maybe the bird more because it's like a carrier pigeon, maybe only instead of a letter, it's a letter bomb.
Oh, wait a minute. They were going to do this in World War II. The bat bomb.
Bat bomb?
Have you heard of the bat bomb?
No, I haven't. When did the penguin use this? Which issue?
Okay. The United States Army developed an idea where they would strap incendiary, like timed incendiary bombs on the backs of bats. And they would stick them, they would put them, I think, in like a freezer kind of thing to like lower their body temperature so that they would go to sleep. Stick them in like this stacked thing and then collapse it and stick it inside like this bomb. And they would drop it over a Japanese city, and it would parachute down, and then the thing would open up, and as the sun warms up the bats fly out and go, and because it's the middle of the day, they're like, ah, I gotta go hide somewhere. So and because of the architecture in these places, it has a lot of nooks and crannies, they go into there, and then the bombs go off, and then the whole city is on fire.
Huh.
And they did test this on a mock city that they built, and it worked. The only reason it never got used is because we ended up dropping the atom bombs.
That would have been crazy if that had actually been used.
History would have been far more creative if we had never nuked them, but we used that. It's less awe, shock and awe of the nuke, but it's scary in its own way.
Yeah, because then that's almost like, it's like you can't escape it.
Yeah.
You'll see it coming. Yeah, that'll be it.
Bats are freaky to begin with.
You thought we had some bats in my house. But
you make them explode?
Flying squirrels. Cool.
Yeah, creepy. Poor bats, though. I mean, so they get the...
All those bats died for nothing. Never even actually got used.
Yeah. I think also another reason they must have been an accident where some bats got loose and like lit like part of an army base on fire.
Yeah, I can't imagine it would be too practical to capture, store, feed, and prepare these bats.
You'd have to ship them to Japan and everything.
Yeah. Test work, though. So.
Next up, it'll be like explosive cockroaches.
Oh, jeez, that'd be awful.
Pretty hard to control.
All right.
Well, they're another animal that scatters into dark places. But shouldn't this have been like one of my stories, Matt? You were like taking one of my angles.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like,
something,
Matt,
from history.
This is
Dave's territory. I didn't know Dave was going to be on the show. I thought it was going to be Josh Gates.
True, that's true. That's true. Hashtag Josh Gates on Cloud. before.
Yeah, I tried to do an impersonation, but I've never seen the show. I did catch an episode of Fact or Faked recently, though.
Yeah, that's a good show.
Yeah, I like that one because it's just like, we're here to, in a very, you know, calm way, explain to you how you're all idiots for thinking this stuff is real.
Except
very
sometimes I subscribe to some of
the characters
on
like
there.
Jump really quick to kind of funny.
Oh my god, this is definitely a ghost.
It's like a smudge on like
a smudge on the window.
you can see, it's like, it's... That's not a face. It's a smudge. Oh, we got to recreate this. It's kind of weird.
Find myself yelling at the TV. It's like...
It's very arbitrary.
Like the one with the CGI alien that was obviously fake, and they were like trying to do construction equipment as a test to see if it looked anything like it.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
There's no way... That had to have been like scripted. There's no way they could have been that dumb.
Grown adults... Believing that that could have been.
Oh my god. Speaking of people just believing anything, the mermaids thing that happened.
Oh, yeah. We got angry about that.
In Africa or whatever?
No. Like, when Animal Planet did a documentary on mermaids and, like, a mockumentary, like, it was done in the style of a real one, but it was fake.
Okay.
And people got pissed off that it was fake. Some people thought it was real.
Oh my god.
And, like, you know, when you just hear about that right away and you see, like, the CGI, you're like, no.
Did Animal Planet, like, say that it was
fake? Yes, they said,
like,
it was
fake.
It was always presented as fake.
Okay.
It was probably, like, a little text at the bottom of the screen, but how many of the people who believe this actually read?
That's a good point.
Discovery, too, did something, like, a mock thing. And people were just like, what's going on? Stop it.
Well, a while back, I think when I was in high school, one of those channels did like a show about dragons, like being discovered or whatever.
Yeah,
a bunch
of
people believe that.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was really, I like that. It was fun to watch that dragon one. That was kind of cool, but I was never.
Right.
I remember when I was very young and my family was living in Idaho, there was a
cornfield.
Every time you say, that made my day, by the way. When I woke up and I just clicked on Facebook and it was just Claude Rains yelling cornfield. I hadn't had coffee yet and that floored me. It took me like an extra half hour to get ready this morning just because I was laughing for that long.
You're welcome.
But anyways, I was a little kid and I was watching TV and I thought I was watching the news. It may have been a documentary thing, but I swore I was watching the news. I was a kid. My memory is very vague on this issue, but I remember clearly that they were talking to a family who claimed they had found dinosaur eggs which hatched. But the dinosaurs got away.
Of course.
I mean, now thinking back to it now, it's like there were clearly ostrich eggs. I mean, I think the family was ostrich farmers too.
Wait, you knew this family?
No, it was just in the news story.
Oh, okay.
And
well, you know, the Idaho transfer's there, so they could have gone back in time.
Who was that? Who made that movie?
I don't remember.
It's a famous Peter Fonda. Peter Fonda made that. So they got together with Peter Fonda. But this was around the time Jurassic Park had been released, right?
Mm-hmm.
But of course, when was that?
92 or 3?
Yeah.
I was in kindergarten.
Maybe it was 94.
94. Yeah, I want to say I was like 6 years old at the time.
Yeah.
So it's like when you're 6 years old, you see a news story about dinosaurs. And you love dinosaurs because you're 6 years old.
Especially dinosaurs potentially being real.
I was telling, everyone about
they
that.
They are.
Like, in terms of, like,
they
nowadays.
They once existed. Alligators are technically dinosaurs.
Birds are.
A couple animals out
there. Well, there's
Well, alligators not so much. Like, they just haven't really changed. I mean, there used to be giant crocs and alligators. They were around before the dinosaurs. You guys want to hear what I brought?
Sure.
No.
Next topic
comes from yahoo.com. This is my last of my archive, so I gotta find some new articles.
All right,
so I'm scraping the bottle of air here. Oregon crime suspect shoots himself in the groin. AP news source. Police in Portland, Oregon say a man suspected of shooting a neighbor shot himself in the groin while trying to leave the scene of the crime. Sergeant Pete Simpson tells the Oregonian the 40-year-old man wound is consistent with somebody putting a gun in his pants. The initial shooting shooting happened Tuesday night during an apparent robbery attempt to downtown apartment building near Portland State University. The 32-year-old man who shot ran to a grocery store to help. He later taken to the hospital with a leg wound. Police say that as the suspect left the scene, he accidentally shot himself in the testicles.
Oh my god.
The alleged man is being treated for self-inflicted gun wound. There's no word from the police on any criminal charges.
Criminal charges, I think the if any punishment was that would be dealt out pales in comparison to the punishment he accidentally inflicted upon himself.
Getting shot in the testicles? I can't even imagine how painful that is.
You're walking and all of a sudden you no longer have them. They're there, you're running from the police. Now you're neutered.
Well, I mean, yeah, if he got shot point blank in the testicles, I can't imagine them coming back from that unless he gets testicular implants or something.
Yeah, I can imagine the bullet even just like zoom right into his leg or something.
Forget the leg.
Let this be a lesson.
We're going to pardon this man. He's suffered enough.
You're here.
So what did the police think when they came across this man who had shot
just rolling on the ground?
Yeah.
Well, Andy, do you think we should bring him in? Or do you think he's learned his lesson?
The moment you realize what's happened to the guy, it's kind of like, ah!
It's kind of like, well, he's kind of like, you know, the chase, and all of a sudden, like, they see him fall to the ground, and then he's just like... He's probably got his hands down there, just covered in blood. And
did he just...
I think immediately, at first you're just going, like, what the frick just happened?
So how did the gun go off?
I don't know. He was a dumbass.
Wow.
He put it in his pants. Well, he was an idiot to begin with for trying to rob somebody at a grocery store.
Boom. Karma in action.
Well, he won't reproduce.
I was just about to say, that's the upside of the story.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
So, like, any dumb person should...
I think I've heard a couple stories like this where guns have gone off in people's
pants.
This
is reminding me... we've had a couple gun stories. I mean, you had your banana gun story, and we had the...
That was a great story.
Cop shooting a squirrel in a grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
The guy in the toilet getting shot.
He shot at a moose and it hit dude in the toilet or
Dave,
whatever.
Dave says he laughed really hard when we reenacted that scene.
That might have been one of our funniest episodes.
I was in tears. So it's like they get this guy in court. He wheels up to the
boy.
The
what
podium.
Do you have? What do you have to say for yourself before I sentence you?
Not guilty.
Give me a good reason not to accept that. I mean, give me a good reason why I shouldn't have you thrown in jail for life. Well, you gonna say something?
I was impromptu neutered.
You mean you just ran into a veterinarian's and he just went at it?
That reminds me of a far worse story, actually, of a guy who made a bet that if so-and-so, this was like in Europe, and the so-and-so soccer team beat his soccer team, that he would, I say soccer because I'm American.
Right, but that's the right way to say it.
But the the crux of the situation was that he bet he would cut off his testicles.
Now, well, that's a stupid bet right there.
He lost this bet. No one was holding him to it. It was like,
like, hey, man, you gonna cut off your testicles or what?
No one was holding him to it at all. It was just one of those things where it's like you accept that the person did not mean it, but the guy meant it. And while they're all, you know, at the end of the game, they're sitting around the bar. He comes in from the bathroom. Having done the deed, proven his point.
Was he holding his testicles in his hand or something like that?
Chuck
something
them
like
them.
That. And his friends just looked at him and were just like, somebody call the police.
And an ambulance.
Police? I'd want an ambulance or something.
Yeah,
so he
I
doesn't
think
bleed
an ambulance.
Out.
Yeah, somebody call an there. Ambulance. Yeah. Quick. Somebody call
easy.
An ambulance. Oh, well... You want to move on to my story?
Yeah, I mean, we could keep talking about testicles, but...
I really don't want
to. Yeah, I think it's time to move on.
Next topic!
What do you got for us, Dave?
Well, I'm afraid the theme of people injuring themselves is Not over.
Hmm.
Because I found...
Someone injured themselves trying to light a cat on fire? You brought it full circle?
Oh, if only. No, but I found a couple of articles from two different but similar incidences that happened around the same time and in the same place. One from, 1891, and the other from 1905. And I've actually got, like, the archived newspaper articles that reported on these events.
All right.
Which is pretty cool.
Let's hear it.
Well, you know how people form clubs?
Mm-hmm.
For just about anything that they're interested in, lots of clubs have gotten formed. You name it, there's a club about it, right?
Sure.
Bananas.
Whoever people's interests are.
Aglets.
Well, back at the around the turn of the century, not recently, but from the 1800s to the 1900s, in Bridgeport, Connecticut, there was something known as the Suicide Club. That's right, a group of people got together and decided to off themselves as a group. Because it's, you know, doing it by yourself, that's no fun, right?
This is a,
let's see.
Made into a Law and Order episode. Maybe a CSI episode.
Probably. Let's see. Like I said, there are two different incidences, but it's all from this club.
And these were clubs, not cults?
No, this was just a club. It's like
they only had one meeting.
You'd think, right? But I got these four different news articles, like two for each story, right?
Uh-huh.
And there are variations, but I'm just going to read one of them here. There's one that's I'd love to read you that's actually from the Sydney Morning Herald. It's from Sydney, Australia. It's talking about this. And the guy goes on this long editorial commentary saying how it's the fault of this book, and he's all about, like, promoting censorship because it puts because it's from 1891, the guy's using terms that I've never heard before. He calls them, you know how people would call them morbid ideas or bad ideas? He calls them cranky ideas. Which I love. It's just like, this book put these cranky ideas in people's heads, and then they go off and off themselves.
We gotta bring that verbiage back here.
Cranky
ideas.
Well, anyways, let's see. The one I'm gonna read you is from The Day, and it's from 1891. Let's see. It says, "The 17th dead. Another Bridgeport Suicide Club man kills himself. Only two members remain alive. They have died by all sorts of methods, except by drowning and the use of poison. John Kopp, or Cap, I think that's Cap, the name of the last victim. Bridgeport, Connecticut, November 10th. John, I think it's Kopp now. German, lately, that was another weird thing. It's like apparently all these guys in the Suicide Club were of German descent.
Huh.
I don't know how that factors in, but it does.
Huh.
Lately employed.
What did you do, Dave?
This was more than 100 years ago. Anyway, so let's see. It's telling about, let's see, he was one of the last members of the famous Suicide Club of this city, and it was time for another member.
Must be the German in you. Wait a minute, I'm German.
No, the German in me is the part of me that wants to take over the world. Anywho, you know what? The Day was not as interesting as this other one. And it's like, it was also harder to read. So here, I'm going to read one of the other one.
Wait, is it two separate articles?
Yeah. I said I have four separate articles.
Four?
Yes.
Two on each event, right?
Yes.
Make sure you send them to me.
All right. So I'm going to read this one because I think this one is it's a shorter one, but it's more entertaining than the other two. Except
other
the most.
Two. I thought
the most,
three other ones.
The one that's really entertaining is just too long to read.
Okay.
Let's see. So I guess come in here in the edit.
Hashtag Josh Gates.
Death puts end to Suicide Club. 12 members take their lives. Bridgeport, Connecticut, April 7th. Organized 10 years ago by 13 congenial spirits who derided superstition, Bridgeport's so-called Suicide Club has been dissolved by the death of its president and the last remaining member, David. I want to, not David, Daniel. Daniel, and I want to say his last name is Loser.
How appropriate.
His last name is spelled L-O-E-S-E-R, so I'm going to call him Daniel Loser.
Well, now I know why he wanted to kill himself.
cursed with that name. He was the only one who did not die by his own hand. So he's a double loser.
What?
President of Suicide Club dies of natural causes.
Now that's some irony right there.
Was it a bear? I bet it was a bear.
A bear killed him. Sure, why not? We'll say that. Because that's natural causes, right? I mean, it's nature. There has always been more or less mystery around the association's proceeding, but details of it... the association's proceedings. It's their group. What their group was doing. Damn archaic language. Why do you not make sense to my modern ear? Let's see. But details of its formation are well known. There's a little mark on there, so I'm like, formation? Oh. Formation. Its membership was made up largely of German Americans. All men, too. I wonder how that factors in. We'll have to talk about that. All German men who decide in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Okay.
That's so weird.
Okay, so two different periods in time. How far apart are they?
One was 1891 and the other was 1905. And the one in 1905 said, the group has been around for 10 years.
Okay, so it's the same suicide club.
Or it seems, it does seem to be two different groups because...
They're in the same area, though?
The one from 1905, yes, they're from the same area. The one from 1905 had 13 members. 12 of them killed themselves in the... And the last guy died of natural causes. Whereas the old one, well, the older one, they're both old stories now, aren't they? The older one was a group, I believe it had like 18 members or something like that. And they would meet like every year and two would kill themselves.
Huh.
So well, every year, two of the group would kill themselves.
If and it was only being... two over 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was...
1891?
1891. So
that... And that's when it's being reported about, when there
years.
Were only two left.
9 years of meetings.
Mm-hmm. And the report here in 1891 was when there was only two members left. Or one member, because... Oh, maybe two.
Okay.
So what would go on at these meetings? Would they just talk about how they were planning on killing themselves or something?
Say goodbye to who's going?
Let's see. I love this part. It's,
did they all put their names in a hat and like they would select one and that person would have to kill themselves?
There was a lot of theories about how they selected it, whether it was by drawing lots or if it was just the oldest members killed themselves first or something like that. So people don't really know. But I like this. It says, let's see, its membership was made up largely of German Americans who met in the evenings at
Why
various
German?
Resorts. I don't know. I wish I had an answer for some of these things, but it says they met to drink and play pinochle.
So pinochle is the
gateway to suicide. Yes. It says it was at one of these merry meetings that the talk of a suicide club was started. So it's like these guys just would meet up at different places and get drunk and play cards. And somebody one day just said, hey, you know what would be cool? If we all killed ourselves.
And somehow everybody agreed it was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been eating something funny.
I'm trying to think of how the Suicide Club would have attracted members. I mean, were there posters that said, Suicide Club needs members, join now to kill yourself?
Well, like the 1891, they got together because they all had read this book called The Suicide Club.
Oh.
Which is why the one guy in Sydney, Australia, goes on this rant about how we should not put these ideas, sensationalized ideas like this. He talks about how if there's one suicide, there's sometimes copycat suicides. Or you know, crime. People see crime and it's sensationalized and it promotes criminal activity. He says especially in young people. So it's like the first guy was going on and on about how we needed to have, you know, personal responsibility when we're putting out stories or stuff and how there should be censorship. But yeah, it was a book and so the author was actually asked to comment when real suicide clubs started popping up and he was like, what?
So I guess he didn't intend it to turn out that way.
No, of course not. He was just writing a story, you know, a dime store novel, right?
Yeah, like, would we get blamed if a bunch of people started
You don't even know where to go with that.
I was trying to make up like some highwaymen.
Well, if anything like that happens in this day and age, I'm sure there would be like civil lawsuits all over the place against this person.
The writer?
Yes.
How would those stick? Because he had no connection to.
Well, here's the thing:
people.
If Judas Priest got sued in the '80s for backwards messages in his songs and whatnot. For a suicide attempt, then I'm sure that 17 people killing themselves
either.
Over this book would have been the same thing.
But here's the thing. None of those charges have ever stuck to anybody.
They were still filed, though.
They were still filed, and they were sensationalized. But it was all about censorship. But the charges never stick, because you put out a song or a story, you can't be responsible for someone else's actions, ultimately, legally.
Right.
I hope it stays that way, anyway.
Yeah. Sometimes you get some crazy.
I mean, that kind of stuff. It's like it's in the same camp, not to bring up an old discussion that we've already had, but when like televangelists blame 9/11 on homosexuality, it's just like, it's completely unfounded accusations of, I'm going to blame someone I don't like.
Pretty much.
I'm going to blame you for everything now, Matt.
I thought you were blaming the universe.
I said I'm going to murder the universe. I didn't say I was going to blame it.
Blame me and murder the universe. That makes sense.
All expanse of time and space.
Well, you know
on.
What? If you murder the universe, that means Josh Gates will never get to come on our show.
You know what I'm going to do? I'll create my own pocket universe where I can live forever, and I'll take Josh Gates with me. We can hang out.
I don't know. After you send him the pictures of your toes and whatnot, I don't think he'll be too inclined to join you.
Well, he's not going to have a choice, is he? It's either live in my pocket universe alone with me forever or never exist ever again.
I just got a text message from Josh Gates, and he says he'll choose death.
Well, that settles it.
Oh, that was about coming onto your show.
Wait a second. You're in text correspondence with Josh Gates, and you didn't tell us that?
Out.
Are you best friends? Did you go to high school together?
Can I have his number?
No, you can't. He told me not to give it to you.
I'm surprised he even gets cell reception.
Well, you know what? Hashtag
in those
Josh Gates.
Foreign places he's always at.
Flap to form.
Oh, I'm sorry. It looks like no one will be interviewing him. He was just eaten by the Loch Ness Monster.
Well,
I bet that's
the way that'll make for a good episode of Destination Truth, at least.
Well, shit, he proved it exists, at least. And hey, he proved it exists.
What better way to die for a cryptid investigator than to be killed by a cryptid?
Hey, it's much better than having a stingray get you through the heart.
Especially when you're a crocodile man.
Yes. We all assumed he would die in a certain way, and it turned out we were all wrong. Every time I remember watching that show as a kid, people were like, he's going to get killed. Steve Irwin, you know?
Yep. He wasn't even bothering the stingray.
It was a sad case.
He was an amazing guy. I have nothing but admiration for him. And if you've ever seen him in interviews, he's a really cool guy. I'm sad that he's gone, because I would have liked to keep watching him over the years.
Wonder what he'd be doing now if he was still alive.
He'd be with Josh Gates looking for cryptids.
that would be an awesome collaboration.
Think about how popular cryptids are right now. I mean, there are like tons of different shows about finding Bigfoot or swamp monsters or whatever. There's a lot of them on the Animal Planet where Steve Irwin worked. He would definitely have been on a show. Probably not, but I'm for the sake of this argument, I'm saying he would definitely have been on a show.
I think there's a chance he would
have.
Well, Dave,
lots of death on the show tonight. Lots of death.
Thanks, Dave, for that morbid article.
One of the funniest things about it is they also had rules. Like, because the original Suicide Club, they weren't supposed to drown themselves or poison themselves. But the second Suicide Club used poison. And most of them shot themselves, by the way. That was the most common thing for them to do, was to shoot themselves. But they also, to make up rules about how you couldn't kill yourself because it was seen as too cowardly. It's like one guy even threw himself in front of a train. My favorite is one simply disappeared and they don't know what happened to him.
Maybe he's not even dead. He just wanted out.
He created a new identity.
Well, he's dead now. But
he'd be dead now.
Well, yeah.
That is such a weird thing, you know? And I almost want to give some credit to the censorship guy, because his explanation seems to be the only one that's like makes any sense of it, this, where it's like they got the idea in their heads and that they were too stupid or messed up in some way to say, you know what, maybe this isn't a good idea. Let's see. You want to hear one sentence from this guy? These abominably sensational details of vice and crime dressed up to pander to a, I'm not sure how to pronounce this, but I'm going to say vitiated taste, are so many suggestions for the repetition of the very incidents which they describe. The news of crime must be given, but there is neither necessity nor excuse for giving it in such a way as to wantonly excite violent and unclean imaginings.
Well, 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 those are some mighty words there, Dave.
Yeah, and the whole thing sounds like that, by the way. So it's kind of a chore to read, but I highly recommend that you do.
Cool stuff.
Well, guys, thanks for sharing your articles for today and your life experiences.
Hey, do you want to end on a more happy note? Because I got one more thing. This is really short, and it's just kind of an, oh, that's interesting thing.
Well,
let's see.
Next topic!
I just found this interesting. I read this recently. It was a man recorded music onto chocolate.
Okay, like a record?
Yeah, like a record, and you can play it back. It only plays 5 times, though. Before it's gone. And I guess after that, you eat the chocolate. You want to see this?
Sure. I mean, you're going to have to send me your links anyway.
Just to end on a sweet note. There's so much to that. Sweet because of chocolate and note music. Come on, man.
I see what you did there.
What a two different...
Well played.
Same article, different... Huh. Yeah. So once that you can't play it anymore, you just kind of take it up, break off a piece, and chew it?
Yes. It was also a Croatian musician that did this. I should...
Interesting. Huh.
Let's see. You can actually... here's the one with the video. You can actually hear the guy talk about it and listen to it. And his whole reasoning for this was he's like, chocolate is sensual, which is like the same thing. Just remember the lines from The Room about chocolate. And it's like, this guy gives the same reasoning.
There's a creepy music video to go with it.
Yeah, it is. But isn't it the same logic, the thing that was described in The Room about chocolate? Remember the chocolate eating scene?
Oh, chocolate is the symbol of love.
Yep.
Well, jellyheads, thanks for listening to this episode of Flapdoodleforum. We've been your host, Lucas Wilson, and
Matt Buckley,
with your guest host,
Dave Halstead.
If you enjoyed this episode, may I suggest you hop on over to our website at psychojellyfish.com to find this and other podcasts. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes and the podcast app Stitcher. Please rate and review. It really does help out the show. And if you're a fan, you want to help spread the madness, give us a like at facebook.com/psychojellyfish or follow us on Twitter @jellycast. And finally, if you have any thoughts, words, comments, or questions, or perhaps a strange story you would like to share, send it our way at email@psychojellyfish.com or leave it in the comments.
Good night, gentle listeners.
Flap doodle.
Keep it psycho.
Cornfield.